Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harvey Carnes. Gay marriage, civil unions. New Jersey's Supreme Court says whatever it's called, it has to have equal rights to traditional marriage. David Buckle is the Lambda lawyer who argued for the seven gay couples. And he says the lessons of Massachusetts are relevant.
Thousands of couples got married, same-sex couples. And a lot of families were helped, and no families were hurt. That's what we've learned in this 3 years. No families were hurt.
Expect a fight, big one, in the state house in Trenton, New Jersey, over a move to outlaw such unions.
Marriage is sort of a building block of our civilization. And to change that, to tinker with that, should not be done by seven lawyers who happen to have been appointed to a court. It should be done by the people.
State Senator Gerald Cardinale. The high court specifically gave the state's legislature 6 months to act, either codify it or change it. President Bush says the mileposts, the benchmarks set out for Iraqi officials, not only lay a framework for measurable and workable progress, they send an important message.
We're pressing Iraq's leaders to take bold measures to save their country. We're making it clear that America's patience is not unlimited.
Democrats have called for such a timetable for many months. Now, Senator Carl Levin of Michigan says...
The White House may be changing its rhetoric about staying the course, but the policies are the same. They're the same failed stay-the-course policies.
The timetable lays out a 12 to 18-month time frame, and among the benchmarks are agreement to divide the oil money, disarming the militias, amending the Constitution, and setting up provincial elections, all important issues to the insurgent Sunnis. If you are 60 or getting there, the Government Advisory Committee on Immunization recommends annual vaccinations to protect against shingles. You remember chickenpox as a kid? That same virus has lain dormant in your body all this time. It can come back in adulthood as shingles, like the pox, only muscle-bound. Hurts a lot, can be dangerous to your vision, to your hearing, red rash, often with blisters. The panel says a vaccine called Zostavax, approved last May, ought to be routinely used. Federal Reserve Board ended its two-day meeting and left interest rates pat.
No surprises here at the Treasury Department. The Fed's decision was expected. However, there are signals these steady rates might not last. Inflation risks remain, the Fed cautions. It says incoming information will dictate whether a rate hike is needed. One member of the panel would have raised rates today.
CBS's Barry Bagnato at the Treasury Department. Federal funds rate still 5.25%. On Wall Street today, the Dow gained nearly 7 points, NASDAQ up almost 12, and oil at $61.40 a barrel, up $2 and a nickel. Are you shopping for Christmas already? Some retailers seem to think so. Some have holiday lighting going up, and it isn't even Halloween yet. Walmart, Target, and JCPenney are among them getting an early start. Sears and Kmart say they'll wait till at least after the trick-or-treats. This is CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
Who says the box in which you will be buried has to cost an arm and a leg?
Your casket is waiting online at Costco's website. From the In God's Care model to the Lady of Guadalupe and the Super Deluxe Argos Cherry model, you can buy them all with just the click of a mouse. If you're wondering why Costco sells caskets, you're apparently not alone. It's the top question on their Frequently Asked Questions page. The answer is, as a service to our members. Simple enough. They can even overnight them to you, but not in all states.
Happy shopping.
Adrian Mitchell for CBS News.
The hottest new thing in cosmetic surgery is transplanted eyelashes. Not everyone's born with thick, lush lashes, hence the commercials to achieve them with eyelash goops. Now, surgeons pluck hairs from the back of the neck and sew them in. One thing, though, those lashes just keep on growing. Since they are head hair, you have to trim them sometimes. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, I care about me, myself, and I. So when it comes to my small business, I take everything personally. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need without the middlemen, the hassles, or the hard sell. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, that's why I went into business for myself in the first place.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind, yours. Dell, purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
If you've ever struggled with a sick kid while trying to get his temperature, you'll love the new temporal scanner by Exergen. It works like magic. Just press a button, gently scan your child's forehead, and get an accurate reading, just like that. It's safe, quick, effective, and used by doctors and premier hospitals. Imagine, no more sticking thermometers in ears or rears. You can even use it while your child is sleeping. The temporal scanner from Exergen, a better thermometer for your family, and the best money you'll ever spend. Available at the pharmacy, at Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
Hey, what's so funny? I have yet to begin to talk. And already they're laughing at me. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. It's unscripted, unrehearsed, and improvised talk radio. We've got 3 hours. We've got an outline of who's going to talk with us and where we're going. But you help determine the ultimate form of this program by your phone calls. We're live and ready to hear from you on an interactive basis. We pay for the call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Lots of people do, and I appreciate your comments and the information you send along to me. Up first on our program, we'll introduce her in a moment, Laura Rosen from Mother Jones Magazine, talks about the new Iranian Chalabi. We'll explain. Later this hour, Norton Garfinkel has authored a new book called The American Dream versus the Gospel of Wealth. In simple terms, Abraham Lincoln's vision for the middle class of America contrasted with that of the robber barons like Carnegie. We're going to talk about the status of the middle class and trickle-down economics with Mr. Garfinkel coming up in about half an hour. Also on today's program, California Democrat John Garamendi in a very tight race for lieutenant governor. He has served, in my view, quite well as insurance commissioner, and he is in a tight race with Tom McClintock. We'll talk with him next hour. Larissa Alexandrovna, the managing editor of RawStory.com and a frequent contributor to our program, she has written a powerful piece that finally captures the outrage that I think Americans should feel based on the way the torture bill, which is called the Military Commissions Act, was negotiated and ultimately passed. And I think you'll find that riveting. I certainly did. And in the final hour, we take your calls in the free speech zone. We're going to play one of the smarmiest political commercials of this season with just 13 days left to our midterm elections. And also talk about the Disney Company and Disneyland and their new approach to junk food and junk food promotions. But first up on the show today, writer Laura Rosen joins us, and she has a piece that we found at MotherJones.com about 10 days ago. Laura, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
And I understand you blog as well at War and Peace. I've never been there.
Well, welcome.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop by, but you spell peace, P-I-E-C-E, according to this.
Correct. I'd like a piece of paper.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's warandpeace.com, .org, .blogspot. No blogspot in there.
No blogspot.
Okay. I find the blogspot thing annoying. Well, I want to thank you for joining us and compliment you on your enterprise. You have introduced me to Amir Abbas Fakhravar, spelled F-A-K-H-R-A-V-A-R. And he fashions himself as an Iranian dissident student leader.
But you didn't take it at face value, and you found a more complex individual who's being presented as an Iranian patriot and somebody who Americans should pay attention to.
Well, I did fall into the trap, I guess, of taking him at face value, and I wrote a profile of some Iranian opposition leaders for the Washington Post earlier this summer, and was told by the editor right before my piece went in that, oh, there's this new one who just arrived, Richard Pearl, the sort of hawkish former Pentagon advisor, is running around with him.
Mm-hmm.
We should include him. So I included him, not knowing very much about him. And then immediately after the piece came out, sort of Iranian sources of mine and well-informed Iran experts started coming to me saying, you should really check out Fakhrabar with the other Iranian student dissidents. There's something not right about his story.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent several weeks talking to other Iranian dissidents, including people recently out of prison in Iran. And they say that he was someone who was imprisoned not for his dissident political activities at all, but that he reinvented himself once in prison as a student leader and kind of, you know, developed allegiances with the Iran hawks in Washington.
Well, let me lift a quote here from your article. But Fakhrabar may be a false messiah. In interviews with more than a dozen Iranian opposition figures, some of them former political prisoners, a different picture emerged. One of an opportunist being pushed to the fore by Iran hawks, a reputed jailhouse snitch who was locked up for non-political offenses but reinvented himself as a student activist and political prisoner once behind bars. Fakhrabar and his supporters vehemently deny such allegations, saying that the attacks are motivated by petty jealousy and a vendetta by Fakhrabar's enemies on the Iranian left. I would say, though, that just judge him by the American company he keeps. And you have photos of him smiling here with Michael Ledeen, who is, of course, one of the key figures in the murky world that brought us the phony claim about Iraq's attempts to buy uranium from Niger. And he's deeply involved with a lot of the neocon projects. And Richard Pearl, as we know, is one of the people who was revived after his pardon me episode in the Iran-Contra affair.
The one thing I will dissociate myself from is the claim that Ledeen had anything to do with the Niger forgeries. I know that many people think that, but I spent a long time investigating that, and I never found any evidence that Ledeen was involved. But yes, Fakhrabar has been adopted by the Iran hawks like Ledeen and Pearl, and it's interesting why. I mean, you know, Ledeen especially fashioned themselves as promoters of democratic revolution in Iran. And what the problem is, these dissidents come out of Iran and they say, no thanks, we don't want Washington to do to Iran what they did in Iraq. So finally they find Fakhrabar, who says exactly what they say, which is with U.S. help, you know, the U.S. can change the regime in Iran. And, you know, Fakhrabar says there are lots of young people like himself in Iran who would like nothing better than the U.S. to help them overturn the regime. So that's the secret of the relationship between
mm-hmm.
Ledeen and Pearl.
Now, Ahmed Chalabi had this relationship first with the CIA and later with the Pentagon. And in the Pentagon phase, he was receiving $340,000 a month to the so-called Iraqi National Congress, which was a complete concoction of a Washington-based PR group. And do we have any information that Fakhrabar is similarly being groomed and paid by our government in any fashion?
No. In fact, the deadline was October 20th at the State Department, was last week, for applications for some of the $75 million that the U.S. is saying they're going to make available to promote democracy in Iran. I'm positive that Fakhrabar is one of the applicants. He's going to Paris next week with the son of the Shah, who lives here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be meeting with young Iranian exiles. And there is this effort afoot in Washington and Los Angeles and in Europe to unite the exile Iranian opposition. State Department is hoping to find people to support in those efforts.
And Laura Rosen, do you see that as independent and freestanding, or do you see it as a cutout controlled by elements of the Bush administration?
Well, the Bush administration is partly responding to right-leaning congressional pressure to promote regime change in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time since before, you know, the Shah's time that the U.S. is openly funding democracy efforts in Iran. The problem is that no one in Iran can afford to be seen taking this money because they'll get imprisoned and tortured. So what happens is you have exiles mostly getting the money, and as you know, their agendas can often become complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By realizing that they get funded for saying things that people here, different constituencies in America, want them to say. So as we saw with Ahmad Chalabi and the Iraqi National Congress, you know, they promoted a vision of what the U.S. would find once they invaded Iraq that was quite different from what the U.S. has actually got itself into.
Indeed. We're talking with Laura Rosen, and the article she penned was for Mother Jones, and we found it at motherjones.com, dated the 6th of October. And the headline is, Has Washington Found Its Iranian Chalabi? If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now. We'll take a quick break and return with Laura Rosen. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you're an Iranian-American, an Iranian exile, or you have information about that community, we'd love to hear from you. Again, my number is 1-888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, Sheila Gale here. Join me on Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons 4 to 5, and hear how local people deal with life on life's terms. You know, the roller coaster ride, up, down, always changing. On Reality Radio, we dive into the real stuff, living day to day, trying to find peace in this crazy world with the most interesting guests. Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, brought to you in part by Italica, with the finest Italian handbags and accessories on Alvarado Street, Monterey, across from Ordway, Italica.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Laura Rosen. She writes about national security and foreign policy based in Washington, D.C. She's a senior correspondent for the American Prospect and contributes to Mother Jones Magazine. And that's where the article we're talking about will appear. It's on the website now at motherjones.com. And we're talking about an individual named Amir Abbas Fakhrizadeh, an Iranian who has appeared in the United States, is very well connected to neocons like Michael Ledeen and Richard Perle, and appears to be gaining some traction, or at least credibility, with the Iran hawks in the Bush administration. And you noted in this article, Laura, that Liz Cheney, who is the daughter of the vice president and who has been given a job in the State Department overseeing the Iran-Syria Operations Group, or DESC, she got a free Persian carpet valued at $4,000. Now, it didn't come from Fakhrizadeh, or did it? Explain that to me. It's from Shabazi, it looks
according
like.
According to the State Department Office of Protocol, which publishes all the valuable gifts that U.S. officials receive from foreign organizations and foreigners, it came from a woman named Manda Shabazi, who's an Iranian exile living in Los Angeles, who has become Fakhrizadeh's main champion, his sometimes translator, and someone who, and she's very connected to the Perle Ledeen crowd in Washington. Her father is a guy named Yadol Shabazi, and he was a businessman and advisor in the Shah's era to the prime minister. And he started a shipping company in the 70s that employed a man who became famous during the Iran-Contra episode as the Iranian arms dealer who lured the Reagan administration to sell.
Would that be Ghorbanifar?
That's Ghorbanifar.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time researching Ghorbanifar, so I was shocked when I'm talking with her to find out that her father was the one who first employed him in his import-export business. She tells me that she was listening to the anti-Tehran regime, pro-monarchist, Los Angeles-based Farsi language broadcasters and heard Fakhrizadeh calling from prison on one of these shows,
mm-hmm.
and was moved by his plight and told Perle about him, and that Perle was soon talking about his plight at a forum in Los Angeles for Iranian oppositionists,
mm-hmm.
and that Fakhrizadeh called the station one day and said he wanted to speak with Perle directly. And this was a time when Richard Perle was I believe an advisor to Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah, he was on the Defense Policy Board.
He was the mm-hmm. chair of it. And what people who were in prison with Fakhrizadeh in Iran tell me is, you know, here's Fakhrizadeh in prison with a mobile phone talking to Richard Perle. and that they said that there's no way he could do something like that without the consent of the prison authorities, and that
Laura, this raises the clear possibility that Fakhrizadeh is a double agent.
Well, that is what's suggested to me by, you know, someone whose name won't resonate with, You and Me in America, but he's considered one of the most prominent human rights attorneys in Iran is a guy named Nasser Zaraf Shan. He's actually been in prison for representing, he's in prison for representing other victims of human rights abuse in Iran. And he tells me that there's no question Fakhrizadeh is a prison snitch, that he's, you know, everyone knows he's working for the police. And this raises questions. You know, Chalabi also was reported to have very close connections to the Iranian authorities, and there was actually at one time a raid on his compound in Baghdad where questions were raised about, you know, his intelligence chief fled to Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
So there are questions about how close some of these people are to the Iranian authorities.
Now, you actually met Fakhrizadeh. Tell us about that encounter.
Well, he doesn't speak English, so it was mediated through a translator who is one of his supporters. You know, he's a pleasant young man, and he's eager to please. And, you know, he spent most of the time trying to tell me about the different prison stints he endured. And I think most people just listen to him and take it at face value. But I had been talking to people, and I finally said, you know, what about, you know, these claims I'm hearing that you attack, you know, he supposedly attacks Zaraf Shan in prison in concert with prison authorities and other claims like that. And he got very frustrated and opened his laptop and showed me photos of himself with a very prominent Iranian dissident named Akbar Ganji. I know this gets all very inside baseball, but he was trying to boost his own credibility with mm-hmm. the dissident community by saying, like, look, this photograph, you know, I wouldn't be photographed with Ganji unless I was the real deal. But I also have met with Ganji, and Ganji has, you know, carefully tried to distance himself from Fakhrizadeh, as have other, you know, really prominent dissidents.
Mm-hmm.
So if
he gets a piece of the $75 million, what would you think he would do with it? Buy a program on that Iranian TV station out of L.A.?
Well, not far off. I think that he would concoct a group of legitimate and illegitimate, you know, posers and real Iranian young people who say that that the U.S. should give them money in order to overthrow the regime, that they would be the sort of advance guard or intellectual advance guard of a student dissident movement. I think that's what's most likely to happen. But, you know, to tell you the truth, I think that the Iraq debacle, you know, recent confusion really coming from the White House over what to do with Iraq, I think the GOP's political problems in advance of the November midterm elections have actually slowed down any forthcoming action on Iran quite a bit.
Well, and we're getting that signal, too, from one of our military sources, Colonel Sam Gardner, who had alerted us to the prospect of a U.S. assault on Iranian nuclear sites and other facilities that could have occurred as early as this month of October. And his word is that cooler heads are prevailing and that it doesn't appear to be imminent as it did a couple of months ago.
I'm interested to hear that because I'd seen Gardner's earlier warning of something more imminent. So I'm interested to hear that he's hearing it slow down as well.
Yeah, I also think that Little Kim kind of threw the Bush administration a curveball. And since it's really not practical to use military action against North Korea, that we had to kind of say, oh, gosh, I guess we have to keep this diplomatic track with Iran going a little further because people think that we didn't give it enough time and opportunity.
Correct. I think that's where people are.
Yeah. Well, Laura, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for your work, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks.
Laura Rosen, you can read all about it at MotherJones.com. The article entitled, Has Washington Found Its Iranian Chalabi? And the man we've been talking about, Amir Abbas Fakhrizadeh. Keep that name in mind, Fakhrizadeh. You might hear it again in the future. Coming up next, we're going to meet Norton Garfinkel. His new book compares Lincoln's idea of the American dream with Carnegie's idea of unrestrained wealth and capitalist power. We'll talk about that in the middle class plight coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you can always call us toll free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Carrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Carrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Carrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Carrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540 KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, because that's my job. Our program originates in San Francisco and is produced by Matt Renner. You got ideas for topics, guests, things we should be talking about on the program? Drop a note to Matt. Matt at peterbcollins.com. So let me ask you, how much money you got in your wallet? And if you go to the ATM, the automatic 20 machine, can you pull out as much cash as you need to fill up your gas tank, say? Well, this half hour, we're going to talk about the plight of America's middle class and take a look at the history of trickle-down economics. I don't know about you, I'm still waiting for the Bush tax cuts to trickle down to me. There are two great books out right now about these issues. Our friend Tom Hartman whose program appears on many of these great same radio stations, has a new book out called Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It. We're trying to get a time window when we can get Tom on the program to talk about, and it should happen in the next week or two. There's also an interesting book with a little bit more of a historical perspective that's out, authored by Norton Garfinkel, who joins us on the program this afternoon. It's entitled The American Dream Versus the Gospel of Wealth, The Fight for a Productive Middle-Class Economy. Norton Garfinkel, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm delighted to be here.
And Mr. Garfinkel is chairman of the Future of America of American Democracy Foundation. He taught economics and economic history at Amherst College, and a professor, I hit the wall with Samuelson in Intro to Econ. So help me out where you can.
I'll try.
He's also former chairman of the George Washington University Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies. What's that about?
It's actually the forerunner to what became the Clinton approach during the 8 years of the Clinton administration to building a policy based upon the sense of community, that all Americans are part of the same community, and not dividing the population between the rich and the poor and the middle class,
mm-hmm.
but rather considering all Americans as important. So that's what communitarian ideas are, and sometimes they were called the third way during the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm. Now, for listeners who might be scratching the head and saying, why should I care about the struggle between the American dream and the gospel of wealth, let me go to the conclusion of Norton Garfinkel's book and lift a couple of lines here, if you'll indulge me, Mr. Garfinkel.
Feel free.
Now we face a contrasting doctrine that disparages the progressivity of the tax code, desires to change the firm commitment to Social Security, and views health care for the least fortunate among us as something our affluent society cannot afford. New tax cuts have transformed a multi-billion-dollar federal surplus into multi-billion-dollar deficits. And now the deficit has become a weapon to starve the beast. The new parlance for a comprehensive plan to undo the efforts by both parties over many decades to use government policies to sustain a fair, prosperous, middle-class society. The belief that government has little responsibility to care for common needs, and the claim that government is largely incompetent to accomplish common purposes, such has become a major ideology of our time. Look at Katrina. I added that last comment. Yet such assertions not only fly in the face of decades of historical experience during the great American century, they also disarm and disable us as we face the challenges of the future. An extremely individualistic vision is precisely the wrong prescription for the foreign and domestic issues that loom before us. In foreign affairs, we're confronted by the continuing threat of a major terrorist attack, an unstable Middle East, emerging nuclear capabilities in hostile states such as Iran and North Korea, and this was published before the recent detonation by North Korea, and a shift in the balance of power toward China, all while our military is strained almost to breaking by existing commitments. In the domestic arena, we confront depressed wage growth, a widening income divide between the rich and the rest of our citizens, and massive increases in debt at both the federal and household levels. We must also address the daunting challenge of an aging population, large unfunded liabilities for Social Security, and especially Medicare, galloping health care cost inflation that threatens to bankrupt the federal and state budgets, making health care increasingly unaffordable for middle-class Americans, and a growing burden on corporations. So those are key points that Norton Garfinkel makes in this new book. And I think this helps set up for people this historic struggle that goes back to the days of Abraham Lincoln and the thriving days of the robber barons in our country before the turn of the last century. So take a couple of minutes here, Professor, and tell us about Lincoln's idea of the American dream and Carnegie's idea of the gospel of wealth.
Well, the American dream, basically the historic vision, as enunciated originally by Abraham Lincoln and then followed by Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, and more recently Bill Clinton, was that all Americans, through hard work, should have the opportunity to build a comfortable middle-class life. and that government was there to use its policies, in Lincoln's terms, to clear the path for ordinary citizens, for all ordinary citizens, to build a middle-class life. The counter-belief, the winner-take-all gospel of wealth idea, is that if you provide maximum financial rewards to the most successful businessmen, that's the way to maintain high economic growth to benefit all Americans through what they call a trickle-down approach.
Mm-hmm.
All the evidence, and what's interesting about my book, is that all the evidence lies in favor of the American dream, and all the evidence goes against this winner-take-all gospel of wealth theory.
Well, it's a good thing you're not the decider.
Well, the voters in this election are the deciders. And let me bring it down to earth literally in terms of what's going on right now. Since most Americans know that President Bush's foreign policy is a disaster, he and his supporters today are claiming that voters should support them based on their claims of success in domestic policy. If you listen to President Bush daily, he's saying economic policy, our economy is working, everything is great, and the stock market's up, and that's why everybody should vote for Republicans. Bush's former chief economic advisor, Lawrence Lindsay, wrote in the Wall Street Journal just last week that, quote, Mr. Bush has every reason to be proud of his tax cuts. He went on to say economic historians will credit the tax cuts as having been a model of the successful application of economic theory to the real world.
Really?
Now, as an economic historian, it's clear to me that nothing could be further from the truth. And if you'll forgive me for a moment, I'll do what economists do and talk about numbers.
Okay, numb me.
The results were not what Bush and his advisors predicted from his tax cuts. They did not produce above-average economic growth. The Bush administration has produced only 1 year of above-average economic growth since taking office. After a sharp decline during the first year of the Bush administration, there was no fast bounce back that they keep claiming. Since 1951, economic growth in the United States has averaged 3.2%. In the Bush case, it was only 1.6% in 2002, 2.5% in 2003, 3.9% in 2004, 3.2% in 2005, and right now, most economists and half the CEOs of our major corporations expect the economy to grow less than that in 2006 and 2007. Now, by contrast, instead of 1 year, economic growth was above the long-term average in 6 of the 8 years of the Clinton administration. It ain't that hard to do. You just have to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. And it really, as I told you, I had problems in Econ 101. But despite that, my impression of the economic performance of this administration is that it's been largely a failure and that it has squandered the surplus that Clinton was able to create, and that it has borrowed heavily, or even more heavily, from Social Security. And these things all add up, plus the vulnerability we have to China and others who hold our debt, the balance of trade problems that leave us at a substantial disadvantage going forward, and the damage to our currency. The dollar has fallen sharply in the last 6 years, and that's not too noticeable to most people who never leave the country.
You're trying to get me to give you not only an A, but an A-plus in Econ 101. So you got it. Let me just add a couple of other numbers to this point. Employment is critical to the growth of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Most economists believe that we need 150,000 new jobs every month to provide new entrants into the labor force. When I ask people what do they think Bush is doing, they quote all kinds of numbers, but the reality is that Bush has presided over an economy that has produced less than 50,000 new jobs per month in the 6 years since taking office. Now, it ain't all that hard, as I said before. During the 8 years of the Clinton administration, the average monthly job increase was not 50,000, not 150,000, but 240,000 jobs a month. So far, the Bush administration has produced less than 4 million new jobs in almost 6 years. The Clinton administration produced 23 million new jobs in 8 years.
But what if we included all the offshore jobs that Bush has created? Would that help?
Well, he has. It's a little hard to count them, but it's certainly true that they're being created offshore rather than in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, since the critical economic idea behind the American dream and the critical economist's idea is that in order for the economy to grow, you have to have purchasing power among Americans. And the problem is you don't get purchasing power if you don't create jobs, and if those jobs aren't good-paying jobs. So, in fact, the Bush administration's policies have been just as disastrous on the domestic side as they have been on the economic side. And as I said before, it ain't all that hard. The Clinton administration wasn't a very, very long time ago. The world has not changed radically. You just have to get the right kind of leaders in to do the right kind of thing, and we'll go back to building the American dream as was done by Franklin Roosevelt and for 30 years thereafter when Americans could, in fact, work hard, have good jobs, be able to send their kids to college, and be able to retire in a secure way. Now, those things are going away in this very short time of 6 years. And it doesn't take that much to get us back. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've screwed it up for such a long time, it makes it more difficult to get it back to the right point. But it can be, and we know how to do it.
We're going
to
take a break and return with Norton Garfinkel. The new book is called The American Dream Versus the Gospel of Wealth, The Fight for a Productive Middle-Class Economy. If you've got a question or a comment, call us. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll go to the phones right after this break on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour. My guest is the author of this new book, The American Dream versus the Gospel of Wealth, The Fight for a Productive Middle-Class Economy. Norton Garfinkel continues with us. And Professor Garfinkel, what actually was the first usage of trickle-down economics, that phrase, in the American lexicon?
It actually goes back to the 1920s. And, I mean, the history of the Gospel of Wealth goes back to the late 19th century. But the term trickle-down economics was actually the clarion call of the Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover administrations. And Andrew Mellon was the Secretary of Treasury throughout all three administrations, and he was the one who converted this laissez-faire, social Darwinist, robber baron, winner-take-all concept into an economics-sounding idea called trickle-down economics.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to get your thoughts.
I should also say that there was a precursor of that on the other side when William Jennings Bryan started to talk about what he disliked about what the Republicans were doing with a similar term.
I see. Okay. I wanted to make an example of United Airlines. I'm upset with them because I recently traveled on the airline and I wanted to try to make a change. And I ended up talking to somebody in India who had no clue about where I was trying to go, what I was trying to do, and just the notion of customer service. And I'm not trying to dump on the people in India. I think they're doing their best, and I understand the circumstances there. But it's a symptom of so many things. And I believe that the bankruptcy court decision that permitted United Airlines to walk away from its pensions, to tell its employees, some of whom worked there 30 or 40 years, that pension that you were counting on may or may not be there. We'll let you know after we go to the bailout fund and all that. And that, to me, was a watershed moment where workers in America were told, you're on your own. And maybe, maybe not, will the guarantees that you worked under and expected to be fulfilled will be delivered to you in due time. Do you agree? Do you think that's a real tipping point against the middle class in America?
Yeah, and I think you're expressing it actually very, very well. I think that you have to look behind slogans to get at what people are really about. Now, the current slogan, or two slogans of the Bush administration are one, quote, the ownership society, and what they mean by the ownership society is you're on your own.
Yeah.
None of the things that were developed under Franklin Roosevelt that built the middle-class society, that sustained us, I mean, the critics are there anymore. And the second slogan that they're using is reform Social Security. What they mean by that is you're on your own again.
Yeah.
So what you're describing is the effect of this approach that says that will give the rich people money and more money, will cut their taxes, and they will invest. It's a funny kind of idea that they have, that that somehow business people will invest money and hire people to build product when there's no demand.
Well, that's how Enron did it.
Yeah, well, they lasted for they proved your point.
Indeed. We're joined by Dave from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Norton Garfinkel.
Hey, Peter and Norton. I think that the concern that was felt by the Roosevelts and Trumans and Kennedys, concern for the working people, is so totally absent today that it is of really psychopathic proportions, I would say that. And also that this modern-day idea of trickle-down theory is better voiced, I think, is being urinated upon by the cons, the corporatist greedy.
Well, I think you've hit the point. Even when we're doing this in the field of economics and public policy, when we evaluate economic policy, we have to ask three questions. The first is the economic question: does it work? But then there's the moral question, is it fair? And the political question, will it sustain the democratic structure of our society? Now, a generation ago, most Americans instinctively understood the relevance of all those three questions, the economic, moral, and political. And that's because our views of government economic policy were shaped by memories of the Great Depression, which brought dramatic policy failure on all three levels. And again, as an economic historian, I think I can say that during the Depression, most Americans became convinced of three things. The government under President Hoover did not know what it was doing. The fate meted out to ordinary workers and their families was patently unfair. And unemployment and spreading poverty threatened the very basis of democracy. Now, when we evaluate economic policy today, we have to ask those same three questions. Does it work? And I spend most of my book answering the question that trickle-down economics, that tax cuts for the rich, that the gospel of wealth does not work as economic policy. Once we get behind that, we can then confront directly the points that you've been making, which is on a moral basis, it's not fair. And on a political basis, if we lose the middle class, we're going to lose the faith in our democracy.
Dave, thank you for a good call today. I appreciate it. Now to John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air.
It ought to be called tinkle-down economics. And you, Professor, were saying directly and indirectly that the policies of the 20s, very Republican policies, led to the 29 crash and to their failure, because Hoover had 3 years to do something about it. But, of course, he couldn't, because he was in hock to the very policy that had created this, the laissez-faire, now called market economics. Just like Bush, he had really no policy for intervention, because that went counter to the stay out of the arena, let the business world do whatever. And that is, I think it's more in effect now, and it's more aggressive, it's more pervasive than it was in the 20s. And look what it led to, the absolute, most historians still feel that the greatest disaster that this country has yet endured was the 29 crash and depression following it?
Yeah, that was really the greatest economic disaster that we had. Though there were, I won't call them precursors, but still, the 1870s, 80s, 90s were boom and bust time periods. Not as bad as the bust of the Great Depression, but still somewhat characteristic of that, and they were also reflective of the same laissez-faire policy. But what's happened since then, one of the reasons that the recession of the first year of the Bush administration and was not as bad as it could have been, and the recovery, while it had all the wrong policies toward recovery, still did not really ruin the economy at least so far.
Professor, I got to stop you there. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for an interesting half hour. The book is The American Dream versus the Gospel of Wealth. We've been talking with Norton Garfinkel. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. I enjoyed the thanks.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are two types of diabetes that affect our children, type 1 and type 2. I'm Nurse Rona. Join us to find out what parents and teachers can do to help children and families face the challenges of diabetes. Healthy eating, exercise, and knowing the signs and symptoms can make a big difference.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Good day, sunshine.
Sonata.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Iraq strategy gets some pre-election adjustments.
I know many Americans are not satisfied with the situation in Iraq. I'm not satisfied either.
They have dropped the rhetoric, but the policies are the same.
Gay activists welcome a ruling from New Jersey's highest court.
Today it's an historic day, and it is a wonderful day in New Jersey.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. On short notice this morning, President Bush held a news conference which he used to deliver a new pronouncement on Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller was there.
13 days before the midterm elections, Mr. Bush wanted to appear candid about Iraq.
There is tough fighting ahead. The road to victory will not be easy.
In fact, he declared himself to be among the many Americans not satisfied with the situation there.
If I did not think our mission in Iraq was vital to America's security, I'd bring our troops home tomorrow.
But he said Americans cannot allow their dissatisfaction to turn into disillusionment about the mission, and he's confident the U.S. will succeed.
As a matter of fact, my view is the only way we lose in Iraq is if we leave before the job is done.
And he made clear that won't happen on his watch. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
One political strategist who's close to the White House tells CBS News he's been flooded with angry calls from Republicans around the country who think the news conference was a big mistake. They want the president to keep a low profile till after the election. Democrats are public in their criticism. This is Michigan Senator Carl Levin.
Saying that we're going to set some timelines without real pressure on the Iraqis to meet those timelines is just simply more of the same stay-the-course policies that we've seen from this administration for the last 3 years.
The Iraqi government has not fallen into line.
I'm Cammie McCormick in Baghdad. Prime Minister Maliki has angrily denied there is a timetable for his government to reduce the violence here. The U.S. ambassador to Iraq yesterday gave a time frame of a year. But Maliki says this government represents the will of the people, and no one has the right to impose a timetable on it. Blamed the upcoming U.S. elections for the pressure. He also reacted angrily to a raid in Baghdad's Sadr City, saying it should not be repeated.
This month's U.S. death toll in Iraq is up to 93. Now this.
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
New Jersey Supreme Court ruled today that same-sex couples are entitled to the same rights and benefits as married heterosexuals, but the court left it to the state legislature to decide whether gay couples should be allowed to marry or have something like a civil union. Gay activists like David Buckle of Lambda Legal welcome the ruling.
When it comes to equal protection in the state of New Jersey, lesbians and gay men stand with equal stature.
But Marcy Nicholson McFadden, who with her partner Karen was a plaintiff in this case, is not completely satisfied.
We want marriage. We deserve marriage. The court has said we deserve it. Anything less is still less than marriage.
Will they get it? CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
I think we're going to see a big political dogfight at the State House over what to call these unions, and I also think we're going to see a push to amend the state constitution to essentially get around this ruling. That has been a very popular and very successful tactic for opponents of same-sex marriage.
CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports the nation's benchmark interest rate is unchanged after the latest Federal Reserve meeting.
Fed policymakers voted to keep interest rates at 5.25%, the third straight meeting with no change after a couple years of increases. Along with the rate announcement, the Fed issued a statement saying economic growth has slowed, and going forward, the economy seems likely to expand at a moderate pace. In other words, the Fed is not worried about inflation right now. For business and consumer borrowers, look for steady interest rates.
The National Association of Realtors says sales of existing homes declined for the sixth straight month in September, and median sale prices were down 2.5% from last year. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits, and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
So, you're in the market for a good used car, but have no idea where to look. Well, I can take the angst out of your auto search. Honda Certified Used Cars. First, it's a Honda. They kind of corner the market on reliability. Second, they're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Talk about a confidence builder. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're the next best thing to new, and then some.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
But cheer went up.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. Coming up later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna from Raw Story joins us. But first, John Garamendi, California Democrat running for lieutenant governor.
Walking, opening up highway. I saw above me, and in the skyway. I saw below me, a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made. Follow my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land.
John Garamendi served in the state legislature for many years, rising to state senator, and then he served two non-consecutive terms as insurance commissioner here in California. And I think by all accounts, he did a great job cleaning up a politicized mess in the insurance regulatory scheme here in California. He joins us today as the Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor. John Garamendi, welcome back to our program.
Always a pleasure, Peter B.
How are you holding up? 13 days to go.
I get stronger as each day goes by. You get in better shape. You know, I'm learning to sleep real fast, down to about 4 hours of sleep a day. So you sleep fast, keep going.
Really? Four hours? 4 hours a day?
Mm.
Wow.
That's about it. But you sleep real fast, and it works out okay.
I have a friend who says that sleep is overrated, but I haven't reached a common ground with her yet.
Your personal opinion is that may be wrong.
That may be overstated, yeah. Yeah. So you're neck and neck with this guy, Tom McClintock. And first up, I want to put out a call. We need a listener in California to take a pop quiz. And if you want to take it on, there's no prize, but just the satisfaction of knowing, if you're successful, that you knew the answer to this pop quiz. So if you live in California and you're aware of the issues that John Garamendi and his opponent have raised in the lieutenant governor's race, give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, and the first person who volunteers will put you on the air and give you the pop quiz. It's 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free. Last week, you had an encounter with your opponent at the boardroom the editorial boardroom of the San Francisco Chronicle. And I give the Chronicle credit because they are conducting debates of these important statewide offices that are considered insignificant by television news operations, and so they don't stage debates for you.
Well, that's really true. It was fascinating. We've always done, well, I've done 32 years of editorial boards, but this one was in a debate format, but before an editorial board with live TV cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fascinating, and I thought it was a very, very good session. And frankly, I was really surprised at my opponent. I had debated him once before, but it was a very short one. Over an hour, a course of an hour, I'm going, oh, my goodness, this guy really is a radical conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it played out that way. And I noticed today I got the endorsement of the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yes, you did.
And so, yeah, I'm a happy camper.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to, you can go to the Chronicle website at sfgate.com. And there's a link there. I think Channel 5 actually hosts the web video. But people can sit back at your convenience in the comfort of your home or on your employer's time and watch it on broadband. And I do think that this is a great service, and I commend the Chronicle for it. Now, to the issues there, according to the Chronicle, and I have not had time to review the entire tape, John, but according to their news articles, you took an unusual approach in this session, and you talked about the ways that you could work closely and more compatibly with Governor Schwarzenegger. Now, there are a couple of things embedded there. One is that it sounds like you've given up any hope that Phil Angelides will be the next governor of California.
No, not at all. If you look at the debate itself, and what I said is that I expect that Phil Angelides is going to come back strong in the last 2 weeks. And whomever the governor is, I can work a whole lot better with the governor, Angelides or Schwarzenegger, than can Tom McClintock, because I've got a long, long record of working across the aisle with Democrats and Republicans to solve problems. And Mr. McClintock has a long, long record of not being able to work across the aisle, even with his own Republican colleagues. For example, 90% of the Governor Schwarzenegger's legislation this year and the governor's positions on Governor Schwarzenegger's website, McClintock disagrees with 90% of them. So what the governor signed this year, minimum wage law, the global climate change, the bond acts, protection for seniors, drug discounts, all of those programs, McClintock opposes them. Mm-hmm. I happen to support them all. So it's kind of a flip-flop. I support more of Angelides's than I do Governor Schwarzenegger's, but McClintock is off the charts in opposition to both Angelides and Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm. Well, and my view is that McClintock is a hardened ideologue. He is a very conservative gentleman. And I'll tell you a quick story because I think it's instructive, particularly to people who care about workers and members of labor unions. I went up to testify before a committee that Senator McClintock sits on related to labor issues because I've been involved in my union, AFTRA, for, well, as long as I've been working in the radio business, over 30 years. And one of the problems we have is that some of our newscasters and other members are forced to sign contracts that are technically illegal in California. They include non-compete clauses, which prevent you from quitting your job at one station and appearing on another station the very next day. And they are considered to be illegal in California. We were trying to clarify that law with a bill. And so I was there to testify, and McClintock was openly hostile. He had no interest in any of the arguments that I or my colleagues were making, and he was simply taking the position of management that, hey, you sign a contract, we own you. And, you know, the law may say that this clause is illegal, but, gosh, don't you people make too much money already?
Well, it's very interesting that his view of labor unions is totally negative. And his view of working men and women is equally negative. It's really quite surprising. And it's not just radio talk show hosts and broadcasters, but police and firemen. The police agencies are so upset with him because he has such disrespect for working men and for police and firemen there was a bill before the legislature, before his committee, and he just totally, what's the right word here? He was actually a widow of a firefighter who had died in the line of duty, and he had such disrespect for her that they're just so upset that they refuse to support him, and they're very actively supporting me, basically because of his disrespect for working men and women and police and fire. It's quite remarkable. His record on labor issues is zero, and it's not just union issues. It's issues of workplace. He's opposed the minimum wage, says it is an economic disaster. He opposes protecting parental leave so that you can go take care of your sick child. Absolutely opposed to that kind of stuff. A remarkably conservative, I mean, ultra-conservative record. It goes on and on. Environmental issues, a zero rating on environment, his solution for global climate change, next ice age.
Oh, great.
Hello?
That's a vision thing.
Yeah.
We're talking with John Garamendi. He's the Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor. The election 2 weeks from yesterday. And I believe John Garamendi has a lot to offer California. And I'm excited to have him on the program here today. And while I don't tell people how to vote, I will tell you that I plan to vote for John Garamendi because I think that he offers strong leadership, and we need statewide Democrats who could presumably take over the governor's office in the future. John, I wanted to ask you about one thing. On the program earlier this year, you talked about a threat from the insurance industry. Now, as I mentioned, you're exiting the insurance commissioner's office, and you made some decisions that didn't sit well with the industry. And they made an explicit threat to join the campaign of your opponent and try to defeat you this November. Have they carried out that threat?
Well, yes, they did, and it was actually, I think, more than a threat. I think it was an out-and-out bribe. What they said is back off the regulations that would finally enforce Proposition 103 so that your driver safety record is more important than the zip code in which you live, or else they would put $2.5 million against me in the primary election. I said, guys, that's a threat. I used some rather strong language, I expect, and ultimately, they did spend $2.5 million against me in the primary. They lost, of course. We go on from this point. But the result of all of that was that we did put in place the final step to implement Proposition 103 so that your experience behind the wheel, the miles you drive, and your safety record is more important now than your zip code. The result of it is, I just announced this today in San Francisco, is that automobile insurance prices in the state of California are going to be reduced at least $1.1 billion. Now, that's the minimum reduction that's going to occur as a result of these new reforms that I just put in place. So the insurance industry was out to scare people, and frankly, they were out to maintain their unnecessarily high profits. So automobile insurance rates are coming down in rural California, in suburban California, and in urban California.
And look for those nasty commercials on TV that say they're paid for by the insurance industry, and you'll know that that threat was actually followed through on. We'll continue in just a moment. If you'd like to talk with John Garamendi, our lines are open, and I'm still looking for a volunteer to take the pop quiz. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. We're going to take a look at a problem in Monterey. Southbound 101 just after Campora Gloria Road. It was a semi-truck that lost its tire in the northbound direction. Apparently it bounced in the southbound side of the roadway and flew into a vehicle. Looks like everything's off to the right shoulder, but injuries involved. So a person was taken to the hospital. Graham Hill at Roaring Camp Road. Reports of a crash there. Looks like a pickup truck rolled over, and it does not indicate if any lanes are blocked. See everything off to the right shoulder. Summit Road just east of Soquel, San Jose Road in the Santa Cruz area. Getting a report of an injury crash there as well. It's a vehicle that rolled over. Fire department and paramedics all on scene. Well, you can't fight cigarette addiction without a solid plan. For a free plan to quit, call 800-NO-BUTS.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're waiting for the payoff from Elvis here. Accidents will happen, and that's why it's always good to have an insurance commissioner around. John Garamendi with us, the Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor here in California, just 13 days away from Election Day. And, John, help me out a little bit. I realize that you're a loyal Democrat, and I also realize that you don't get to choose your running mates on the statewide Democratic ticket. But there's one Democrat I cannot vote for this November, and it's the man who wants to be your successor, Cruz Bustamante. And I think I told you once before on the program that he out-and-out lied to me. Because before the primary, we invited him on, and I asked him point-blank if he would promise not to take insurance company contributions, insurance industry money, in this campaign. And he soft-pedaled it, and he said, I'm only going to take a little. And he's floated a figure of 5%. And 2 days later, the reports came out, and he was at 20 to 25%. And I understand that he has returned some of those contributions, but that's a bell that, in my view, cannot be unrung. How far are you willing to go in advising voters on who your successor should be?
Well, let me start with what my view is of taking money from the insurance industry when you're insurance commissioner, and that is you simply cannot do that. It is just too much of a threat to compromise yourself, because you are not only the regulator, you're the police, you're the judge, and you also write the regulations, which are literally the law. So I don't believe you can take money from the insurance industry. Now, as far as I know, he has returned the money, and that's certainly an extremely important piece of it. If he hasn't returned the money, then that's a problem. But as far as I know, he has returned the money. Now, and I do support the entire Democratic ticket.
Okay. Will you be voting for Cruz Bustamante?
I have done so.
You have. Okay. I actually have decided to support, and you know, I'm a declined estate voter. I typically support Democrats, John. But in this case, I will be voting for Steve Poizner. He's kind of unproven, but I know he's not going to take any money from the industry. And he has even argued that the post of insurance commissioner should be nonpartisan, like the state superintendent of public instruction. Do you agree?
Well, I think you'll find in the state superintendent of public instruction, while it is nonpartisan, the big advantage is you could win it in the primary, and that's certainly what happened with Jack O'Connell. He won it in the primary and doesn't have to worry about the general election.
Yeah.
But it always seems to be a Republican or a Democrat running in that position, although it is nonpartisan. I think you'll find the same thing if you made the insurance commissioner nonpartisan. It'd be a Republican or a Democrat, and people would be aware of that, even though they may choose to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to choose to ignore it in the down ticket races. There'll be crossover voting. Democrats will be voting for, well, as we know, Democrats are now at least suggesting that they're going to vote for Schwarzenegger. I would hope that Democrats vote for me and Republicans vote for me and that no one votes for Tom McClintock.
Well, John, I couldn't get a volunteer to take the pop quiz. What I was going to do was identify some of the issues raised in a new political ad that you're going to be running statewide. It's called Pop Quiz, and the answer is Tom McClintock.
Well, there's a bunch of issues in that ad, and some of which we've covered, but I'd much prefer to talk about the positive things that the lieutenant governor can do, and it really is an extremely important post if you care to use it, and I certainly want to. The educational issues, the global climate change issues, the necessity for a universal health care system, you know, all of these things that I've worked on, I want to get to them, a whole set of international issues, trade and competition, and there's time enough to do it as lieutenant governor, and there's enough position and gravitas in the job to really be an impact player on public policy in the state of California. Because you're in the Capitol, you have the ability to work with, at least I have the ability to work with both sides, Democrat and Republican in the legislature, and I expect that I'll be working with the Democratic governor. If it doesn't turn out that well, work with Schwarzenegger, which I've already done on the workers' compensation reform, which
mm-hmm.
has resulted in $14 billion reduction.
And John, do you think when the governor leaves the state, you know, when Arnold goes to Jackson Hole or something like that, could you give me some kind of a fat appointment?
Well, actually, he goes to Sun Valley.
Sun Valley, that's right.
No, I don't think that's really appropriate. I'm not the governor. I'll certainly talk to the governor about appointments and try to persuade him to make them. But I don't want to get in a schoolyard brawl with the governor, because then the issues that I really care about, I won't be able to move them along.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to do is to work in a mature fashion with the governor. We will undoubtedly agree on some things and disagree on others. But
Let me
but
jump
to fight
in.
It out, you know, to do that. No, I understand. I'm not the governor, and I won't be making appointments. But I'll certainly encourage the governor to appoint you.
Okay, thanks. I don't really want to serve. I just thought it'd be fun. Joe in Pacific Grove, join us with John Garamendi.
Yeah, hi. Fascinating program as usual. Yeah, I had a question regarding Bustamante. This goes back a little ways, but I've never been able to get an answer on it. Back when the people were bragging about when they had the hearings about taking advantage of grandmas and people on a fixed income with the phony utility hikes, and I saw an article, I think it was in San Jose Mercury, where he had assessed that they owed the state, I think it was $9.8 billion, and then nothing happened. And the next time I heard about it, 160 different subsidiaries of Enron had to come to the state Supreme Court, and they walked out on Bill Lockyer. They just walked out. I don't understand how people can walk out of a and left the state hanging with, I think it was, a $9 billion deficit.
All right, Joe, I wish I had more time, but we're up against the clock here. John Garamendi, thanks for joining us today, and I wish you the best on November 7th.
Take care.
All right, we'll talk again soon. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna. She found the outrage I've been looking for about the Military Commissions Act. We'll talk about it on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Michael J. Fox shamelessly exploits himself. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Actor Michael J. Fox is in big trouble. He's been making political ads criticizing conservative candidates who've opposed embryonic stem cell research. And in the ads, he is visibly shaking from the spasms caused by his Parkinson's disease.
In Missouri, you can elect Claire McCaskill, who shares my hope for cures. Unfortunately, Senator Jim Talent opposes expanding stem cell research. Senator Talent even wanted to criminalize the science that gives us a chance for hope.
Some conservatives think that Fox was pretending.
This is really shameless, folks. This is really shameless of Michael J. Fox. Either he didn't take his medication or he's acting, one of the two.
Rush Limbaugh later acknowledged that maybe Fox wasn't pretending after being informed that Fox does, in fact, have a horrible fatal disease. So what is it about this ad that has made conservatives so uncomfortable? I'm guessing that Michael J. Fox has committed the crime of thinking that research into his disease should be controlled by scientists, when in fact it needs to be controlled, apparently, by conservative politicians. The same way the biology curriculum needs to be controlled. The same way statements on global warming need to be censored from time to time to avoid unnecessarily scaring people. Because, hey, if you're going to scare people, do it right. Release a bogus warning about dirty bombs being set off during football games. Anyway, Michael, have the simple decency to take your meds next time. It's very upsetting to talk show hosts, and unlike you, they have a much harder time controlling their spasms.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM,
888-ANTI-SPAM,
or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS.
This is Laura Perneda of Perneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Perneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
When Bush signed the so-called Military Commissions Act on October 17th, I thought it would rock the nation.
I thought that outrage would be expressed from coast to coast. And instead, that important issue was displaced by the Mark Foley email a page scandal. And since then, I've raised the issue with Marjorie Cohn, with folks from the Center for Constitutional Rights, and I've been looking for the voice of outrage that I think is appropriate in response to this draconian legislation. And we found it from our regular contributor, Larissa Alexandrovna. She's managing editor at rawstory.com. And she wrote a powerful piece called Bush Signs the Reichstag Fire Decree. And in my book, Larissa, this one's a home run.
Well, you know, when I get angry, I don't, you know, I'm a news writer, but when I get angry, I get angry.
Well, you do, and it is informed invective, and I think it is entirely appropriate. And I'd like to recap for listeners who may not know your full story, that you immigrated to the United States from Soviet Russia as a child. And we'll just fast forward to the fact that you were living in Manhattan on September 11th of 2001.
Right, at Ground Zero, actually.
And those are just two pieces from a much richer biography. But I think they helped inform some of your attitudes and the justifiable anger that you fear, that you feel for the president in promoting and signing this bill.
Mm. I mean, I think the recent events with the illegal detention, what I call illegal detention, of my cousin and the many women that were detained along with her, as your listeners well know, under the immigration project called Operation Return to Sender. I mean, how there's a lot of things that finally I snapped when I sat down and wrote it, and you know, it's a very long piece, and it's me ranting and ranting, essentially.
Well, it really is very rich in the way you wrote it. How many passes did you make at this? Is this off the top of your head, or was this, you know, kind of embroidered as you went through it a few times?
No, I mean, when I get angry, I sit down and I just write something, and then what I do is I'll send it to a friend and say, hey, does this make any sense? And take whatever feedback, and then just do a final edit. But no, this is, you know, I sat down and got angry.
You wrote,
this is the best kind of writing, I think.
You wrote, to add insult to injury, when Bush was finished with his butchery, this half-witted crook had the audacity, the sheer nerve, to claim that he was slitting the throat of America in the memory of those who died on September 11, 2001. Quote, and now in memory of the victims of September 11th, it is my honor to sign the Military Commissions Act of 2006 into law.
Oh, God, it makes me sick. It's, you know, he couldn't have insulted me more if he spit in my face directly.
When the president evoked the memory of my neighbors and friends who died due to his laconic vacationing and stay the golf course golfing in order to remind those he will no longer protect those he already failed to protect, his words rang as a threat to me. I heard him and my stomach drop straight into the earth, leaving no room for hope. I heard a threat and it rang on my walls and ears like an alarm. A man riding on a horse in the middle of the night screaming, "The Constitution is dying. The Constitution is dying."
Yeah.
I just think that this is wholly appropriate. And what I don't understand is how so many Americans can see habeas corpus written off for people that they think will never be them, that they can justify a power grab by the president, that the president will have the sole authority to determine whether a detainee would be held under the terms of the Geneva Convention.
A U.S. citizen as well, I might add.
Indeed, that's an important point.
Right. I mean, this is an atrocity. And I don't know where the public is. You know, the only thing I can think of is that things are so cleverly named, and we've lost all ability to communicate in any meaningful way with real language and real descriptive words. We're essentially being marinated in constant propaganda to the point where people don't understand, you know, Military Commissions Act. That sounds, you know, benign. Habeas corpus, most people don't understand that.
Right.
You know, but if you said, look, The president basically said, Bill of Rights, bye-bye. I think that would ring, you know, deeply. The problem is that the mainstream media resorts to using a fabricated language instead of reporting what this really is, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I don't know where the public is. I'm incredibly upset, but I'm incredibly insulted by the fact that he would literally invoke the names of those he has treated so badly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that there are still remains now being found,
yeah,
forgotten victims of an attack that could have been avoided had he cared enough to take 5 minutes from his vacation and actually govern.
Larissa, let me ask you about something. You raised the issue about language.
Mm.
And yesterday, I got a call from a contrary listener who was upset with me because in the spirit of the Bush administration and the Orwellian names that they come up for their legislation, you may know that I have renamed the Military Commissions Act the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
I think that's appropriate.
Well, I wanted to get your take as a somebody who was born in Russia, because
yes,
this caller said, "Well, Peter, are you saying that Bush has killed 5 million people?"
Well,
I said, Well, let me tell you what I said, and then I'll ask for your response.
Oh, sure.
What I told him was no. But this is a page from the Stalin playbook, and it could lead us to Stalin-like concentration camps and a gulag, which we know the murky outlines of already. He wasn't buying it, but I wanted to get a reality check from you, because I don't want to be cruel or insensitive in using the phrase I do and invoking Joe Stalin. But
well,
I really think that this is the beginning of a potential Stalin era.
Well, I'll tell you. I talked to my cousin, who was released for not committing any crime. She was held without charge, and she's, you know, unwilling to discuss this to the point where we're very concerned. But what she did manage to tell me would absolutely ring as a gulag. And I will say that my parents, who by far have more experience with Stalinism than I do, have all already evoked that comparison, or invoked, rather, that
mm-hmm.
comparison. And so, no, you are absolutely correct. Now, the problem with saying, are you saying Bush killed, you know, 5 million people? No, I don't think anyone's saying that. But the problem is we don't know how many people he's killed. We don't know how many people he's holding or he's held. And that's what happened under Stalin. You did not know at the time. Only after did the evidence start to surface. So we simply don't know, and I think that should bother everyone. We know now that in Iraq it's close to 1 million people that we've killed. We know that in some of the, at least 3 or 4 of the camps in Iraq alone, we've held about 70,000 people without charge, none of whom have been tried, all of whom have been tortured, some of whom have been raped. Now, I don't know what to call that. That, to me, is absolutely worse than Stalin-like. I think we're entering a phase where, you know, concentration camps is probably the most appropriate way to describe what the system we've set up, where we're torturing mass numbers of people for no reason. And so your caller, while upset about terminology, needs to talk to people who have more experience than he does with the actual reality of what those terms mean.
We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The piece that I'm referring to is called Bush Signs the Reichstag Fire Decree. And it is a powerful piece of polemic expression. And as I said, I think that it's very much appropriate in this current climate. And how do you feel about the stunning silence of our political leaders and too many of our religious leaders about these critical human rights issues?
Well, I mean, let's go back for a moment to another opinion screaming thing I did, where during the week that the United Nations Human Rights Committee met and issued what is essentially an indictment of the United States for its mass human rights violations domestically. In that same week, nobody reported that but me, yet the entire media apparatus was obsessed with a racial slur made by a drunk actor. So what do I make of this silence? You know, it's par for the course. We are well beyond, in my opinion, and I know I'm being cynical and I don't know, maybe jaded, of course, obviously, by all of this, but I don't know how we're going to salvage this country, because the public is either heavily sedated without knowing it or is so comfortable in their lifestyle that they're unwilling to look around them. I just have no way of explaining this phenomenon.
Well, and many Americans have intoned, and I've heard this over decades, you know, a judgment and sharp criticism of German people who tolerated the Nazi regime.
Sure.
And who we believe should have been aware of the concentration camps and should have somehow personally stopped it.
Right.
And, you know, under the current climate of pre-fascist America, or maybe the pre is no longer operative.
I don't think it's operative.
We have a stunning anesthetized population.
Right. But you know what happened in Germany. That's what scares me. Do you know why what they did with the populace there to keep them so sedated? And, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I don't even want to head in that direction. But, I mean, how in God's name do you simply sit by while New Orleans drowns, while people are dying on TV in our living rooms, while, you know, the attacks on the victims of 9/11 continue despite the fact that these people failed to protect them to begin with, while there's an illegal war, while we have concentration camps, while the Constitution is being ripped to shreds, and nobody cares? I mean, there's certainly a lot of people who do care, but, I think if you want to understand what happened in Germany, this is a perfect example. I don't know if you've ever seen the film called The Wave.
No.
It's about an actual experiment that was done, I can't remember in which school district, the students had a lot of questions about how the German people could have allowed this to happen. So the teacher created this very slow propaganda and on divisiveness and all of this and scapegoating this experiment. And by the end, you literally had one group of people hunting another group of people, chanting together. And at the very end, he tells them they're going to meet their leader, and they all arrive in uniform. And this is based on a true story. And there's a lot of legal issues after this because so many people were traumatized. But they all go into the auditorium. You know, these very hardcore right-leaning uniformed now students, and he unveils a picture of Hitler, and they just. You know, people fall apart. They can't believe that this is what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest everyone rent it if it's available somewhere. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie, and it's based on a real-life experiment that was done.
We got to take a break, and we'll continue in just a moment with Larissa Alexandrovna. Do you share her outrage? Or are you one of those people who think that she and I are off base about this? I'd like to hear your reaction in either way. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open for you right now, and I'd like to know what you're thinking. 13 minutes away from the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Okay, my liberal friends, let's take a look at traffic, and let's start off with a problem 152 at 156 in Hollister. It's an injury crash, a pickup truck, and another vehicle. CHP telling us everything off to the right-hand shoulder, but they have called out the fire department as a precautionary measure, and also their the tow truck being summoned to the scene as well. Let's take a look at a problem in Santa Cruz Summit Road, just east of SoCal San Jose Road. Apparently, this is a silver vehicle that rolled over. It is partially blocking the roadway as well, and looks like the right lane blocked. CHP on scene there. Another problem quickly, Graham Hill Road at Roaring, an accident reported there. Not a whole lot of details. A support brought to you by the California Department of Health Services. You can't find cigarette addiction without a solid plan. For your free plan to quit smoking, call 800-NO-BUTS and undo your addiction for good. That's 1-800-NO-BUTS. Traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna. She's managing editor at rawstory.com. And we're talking about her powerful expression of outrage at the so-called Military Commissions Act signed by the president on the 17th of October. And it's entitled Bush Signs the Reichstag Fire Decree. And is it at Raw Story or anywhere else we can find it, Larissa?
Oh, actually, it's at the Huffington Post.
Huffington Post, thank you.
Right, and then it syndicates out, so probably a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be quite easy to find.
Great. Sally in Marina joins us. Hi, Sally. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Peter. Hi, Larissa. I'm really glad to be here, and I have one thing to say, and that is I'm absolutely outraged, too. The man in the White House is corrupt. He's an outlaw. He needs to be replaced. I have a bumper sticker on my car about, you know, Bush Light, thousands died, and people are always giving me a thumbs up about it, but they're so busy. American people, working people, are so busy just trying to keep the bread on the table, the houses, you know, the rent for their houses. It's really, really hard to think about all these things that seem to be so far out of reach. So that's my take on it anyway.
I can understand that up to a point. But it's a cop-out to a certain extent as well. Let's get Larissa's take.
Well, no, I think part of, you know, indoctrination and control is to destroy the middle class, because any opposition is always from the middle class. When people are poor and too busy trying to put, as Sally said, you know, bread on the table, they don't have time to think about anything else. They have to feed their families. And I really believe that that's part of, you know, why these guys are so effectively destroying the middle class.
All right, but the average American finds 6 hours a day to sit in front of the boob tube.
Well, you know, and imagine, and they're watching reality TV. Now, that to me is so bizarre. It's like a hole of mirrors. Yeah, sure. But if you've had, if you worked an 18-hour shift and you come home, you know, yeah, it's lazy, but it's human.
So how do we overcome that?
How do we overcome that? I at this point, I don't know. I think at this point, you know, I'm not a violent person, so I can't possibly suggest that method, any type of method that resorts in violence. But, you know, protests at this point, I would think the entire nation would have to get up and stand in the street and do nothing, just stand there and not work, not go anywhere. Like what happened in the Ukraine, just shut it down.
But you and I saw the disappointing turnout at Camp Democracy in Washington. The World Can't Wait event on October 5th was a bust. And these were events that were adequately organized and publicized.
Sure.
And if people were inclined to express themselves, there were platforms or at least vehicles for them to do so. And,
well,
and
again,
I'm stunned by the passivity.
Well, yes, I am too. I you know, I'm on one hand, I'm thinking, okay, it's because the middle class is collapsing, and so that's where you would see this type of resistance usually. I don't know. Is there something in our water? I don't know.
Sally, do you have any ideas? Again, not to be judgmental or critical of people, but how can we appeal to their higher sense and say, you know, go ahead and turn off Survivor tonight and watch Keith Olbermann, because he'll tell you a little bit of truth about what's going on in this country.
Well, Peter, believe it or not, word is spreading. And it's happening more and more all the time. I talk to people all the time who didn't used to watch Keith Olbermann, but they're watching him now.
Right.
And it's little by little. I used to be a union president at a university in Southern California. Talk about being hopeless, because you cannot fight the University of California, okay? And I tried, and I almost lost my health over it. But that being said, it takes a lot to motivate people. It takes tremendous amount to motivate people, to get people out on picket lines and stuff like that. And if we had one major media network, if George Soros wanted to put his money in some place where it would do the most good, and I think Amy Goodman has done more good in the short time she's been on the air than anybody I've seen.
Yep, I agree.
She's respected. People don't go on there unless they've got their act together, unless they know what they're doing and know what they're saying, and they've got their facts straight, and you can believe that news, but it's not well known.
All right, Sally, thanks a lot for joining us today, and thank you for your outrage. We need more of that.
Well, the other option is, you know, what we do when we're trying to win the hearts and minds of other nations who are under an authoritarian type of regime is we leaflet them to reach the public. And
mm-hmm.
I've been saying all along, let's do this thing I've dubbed the paper chase. You know, print out really important pieces of news or commentary, make copies every day, and wherever you go, your daily, you know, routine, the grocery store, the dentist, wherever,
mm-hmm.
leave pieces, you know, small piles, wherever you go. And I actually was doing this quite a bit when Ann Coulter's new book came out. You know, boy, every other page had something
yeah.
in it, and I think that is effective. It does
mm-hmm.
work. You know, let's unplug and resort to leafleting.
Let me sneak in one more call here. Ed in Aptos, go ahead, Ed. You're on the air.
Yeah, that thing that you talked about, the wave, took place in Palo Alto, I think.
I thought so, too. It was kind of a Stockholm Syndrome session, if
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, and lobster in the cook pot.
Mm-hmm. Just a minute here, Ed, so go ahead.
Oh, the frog, yeah.
Yeah, the frog or
the boiling
frog or lobster,
frog.
Whatever. But that's it. I mean, we're just slowly being they're turning up the heat, and people are just, you know, the old term I use, fat, dumb, and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, until they're well-cooked, and then there's nothing they, you know, well, it'll be very hard to extricate ourselves from it.
Yeah. All right.
No, I totally agree.
Thanks for your efforts. We really appreciate it, Larissa.
Oh, thank you. No, I totally agree. But I think if people who who do care or want to do something, I think the paper chase concept, or whatever you want to call it, that's what I call it,
mm-hmm.
I think is very effective. Let's leaflet those who cannot be bothered or who cannot be reached in other ways. Let's leaflet them.
And maybe they can print out your article, go to Huffington Post, print out the story by Larissa about the Reichstag fire, and spread that around. Leave it at the post office. Leave it at Starbucks. Larissa, thanks for your activism, and I really appreciate this piece.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush was both sober and optimistic at his news conference today. He acknowledged the violence and the rising American death toll in Iraq.
The events of the past month have been a serious concern to me, and a serious concern to the American people.
But while he drops the mantra, stay the course, Mr. Bush insisted perseverance will pay off.
We're winning and we will win, unless we leave before the job is done.
The president said U.S. military leaders are changing tactics, but today, when Iraqi special forces backed by American advisors tried to capture a militia commander in Baghdad's Sadr City area, Prime Minister al-Maliki disavowed the raid and said he hadn't been consulted. And al-Maliki said he's not much concerned about the Bush administration's talk of timelines, saying that's a result of the ongoing election campaign. Democratic Congressman John Murtha says Iraq's leaders are not reliable partners.
They'll let us go on forever. They have no control. The Iraqi government is a government inside the Green Zone who never goes outside and has no control outside the Green Zone at all.
While ruling that homosexuals should have the same rights and benefits as heterosexuals, New Jersey Supreme Court leaves it to the legislature to decide the issue of gay marriage. State Senator Gerald Cardinale has strong views on this.
Marriage is sort of a building block of our civilization, and to change that, to tinker with that, should not be done by seven lawyers who happen to have been appointed to a court. It should be done by the people.
To those who say gay marriage threatens the family, David Buckle of Lambda Legal points to the experience in Massachusetts.
Thousands of couples got married, same-sex couples, and a lot of families were helped, and no families were hurt. That's what we've learned in this 3 years. No families were hurt.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on new research that says most lung cancers can be cured if they're caught in time.
When researcher Claudia Henschke tried recruiting people with a lung cancer risk for a study using CT scans,
they said, why should I get screened? Because if I find it, then I'm dead within a year and a half.
This study in the New England Journal of Medicine actually discovered the opposite, that when CT scans detect lung tumors early and patients have surgery, 92% of them survive at least 10 years.
So there is hope.
Before CT lung cancer scans become as common as mammograms for breast cancer, high-risk patients will have to be identified and standard set. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Fed, for the third time in a row, leaves interest rates unchanged. After meeting today, the Open Market Committee said the economy seems likely to expand at a moderate pace, meaning growth without too much inflation. On Wall Street, another record, the Dow up 6 points to close at 12,134. The Nasdaq was 11 points higher at 2356, and the price of oil was sharply higher today, up more than $2 to $61.40 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Peace of mind. We all want it, but where do you find it? And when you do find it, how long does it last? At New York Life, peace of mind starts with a promise and lasts a lifetime. The promise to pay a claim when you need it, even if that day is 30 or 40 years from now. It's why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. In the end, peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
Sometimes the virus that causes chickenpox lingers in the body for decades, only to attack again with a case of shingles. Today, a federal health advisory panel recommended that people 60 and older get vaccinated to prevent the painful skin ailment. Reporter Pete Combs has more from Atlanta.
There was no real treatment for shingles until May, when Zostavax, a vaccine made by Merck, was approved by the Food and Drug Administration. In essence, Zostavax is a supercharged chickenpox vaccine, the one given to children. Now, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices has voted to recommend all adults over 60 be immunized with Zostavax, a recommendation likely to be adopted by the CDC. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
In New York, some comfort for the families of 9/11 victims. Experts say the human bones recently discovered at the World Trade Center site are well-preserved and likely to yield usable DNA samples for identification. There's a renewed search, and more remains were found today. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your humble host, Peter B. And this is my favorite part of the broadcast day. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules. Any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Give me a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. In our Dirty Deeds file, first up, we have a presidential news conference. They're coming so fast these days, it's hard to keep track of them all. And I was not able to sit and watch the president's news conference today, but I have a soundbite for you. We'll play in just a second. And I have a summary of the event from the Associated Press. In a somber but combative pre-election review of a long and brutal war, Bush conceded Wednesday that the United States is taking heavy casualties in Iraq and said, "I know many Americans are not satisfied with the situation there. I'm not satisfied either," he said. And despite conceding painful losses, he said victory was essential as part of the broader war on terror. "We're winning, and we will win, unless we leave before the job is done," he said. Now this, of course, is a crock, and he knows it. There is no scenario presently visible that would allow the United States to declare victory in Iraq, in my opinion. Had we left a month after we toppled the Saddam regime, we could have declared victory and gotten out before the occupation turned into a civil war. But the president, as Bob Woodward's book clearly identifies, is in a serious state of denial. Now, on the one hand, he said he was more specific about the loss of life there than he usually is. Quote, there's been heavy fighting. Many enemy fighters have been killed or captured, and we've suffered casualties of our own. This month, we've lost 93 American service members in Iraq, the most since October of 2005. During roughly the same period, more than 300 Iraqi security personnel have given their lives in battle. Iraqi civilians have suffered unspeakable violence at the hands of the terrorists, insurgents, illegal militias, armed groups, and criminals. So on the one hand, he's able to give a pretty clear assessment of how truly bad things are. And then the political side of his brain takes over. Or maybe that little box that Karl Rove speaks into that you can see profiled on the back of his suit coat. Maybe Carl whispers lines to him. But it is really bizarre because on the one hand, leading generals are saying that we've got a mess on our hands. And then they offer some spin about how, oh gosh, you know, if the Iraqis stand up over the next year, we're going to be able to stand down. And, of course, the president is trying not to respond directly to questions about the decision to no longer use the phrase, stay the course, whatever that meant.
Our goal in Iraq has not changed, which is a country that can sustain itself, defend itself, govern itself. Our tactics are adjusting.
But he doesn't tell us what those adjustments are. And the military people I talk to all say that if he really wants to win this, as his rhetoric indicates, he's got to commit more troops to the battlefield. And in a lengthy piece in the New York Times today, they talk about what it would really take to secure Baghdad. Tens of thousands of additional troops, not just redeployed from somewhere else in Iraq. In our Dirty Deeds file, Rush Limbaugh has joined the fray, and he attacked Michael J. Fox, the actor who used to play a Republican on Family Ties. You remember him? Well, he has serious health problems, as you probably know, Parkinson's. And he did a TV spot for Claire McCaskill, who's running for the Senate in Missouri. And in the commercial, Michael J. Fox is sitting in a darkened living room. His head and upper torso shake almost violently from side to side as he speaks. And Rush Limbaugh has claimed that Michael J. Fox, the actor, is acting in these commercials.
He is exaggerating the effects of the disease. He is moving all around and shaking, and it's purely an act.
Now, how the hell do you know that, Rush? You were there when the spot was videotaped? You spoke to Michael J. Fox's doctor? Just how the hell did you know that, Rush? Tell us. Oh, omniscient one, the guy who works with half his brain tied behind his back. The better to absorb OxyContin, I suppose. 888-5-PETER-B. I'd like to hear from you on these issues or anything else that you want to raise. If you're outraged about the Military Commissions Act, that's what we discussed with Larissa in the last 45 minutes or so, I invite you to call. Anything else on your mind, go ahead and share it with us. Now, here's a new low point in the attack ads on television. Harold Ford is a conservative Democrat running for the Senate in Tennessee. And the commercial you're about to hear the soundtrack of is so scurrilous that I thought about not airing it. But I think you should hear what the other side is up to and how low they are willing to go. Now, this comes at you pretty quickly. We might even play it twice. It is a series of snippets of smarmy attacks on Harold Ford, who is single and African American. And what you see is a white woman who claims to have been with him at a Playboy Mansion party. She appears twice, once to tweak him at the beginning and once to tweak him at the end. And I'll play this, and like I said, maybe we'll play it again.
Harold Ford looks nice. Isn't that enough?
Terrorists need their privacy.
When I die, Harold Ford will let me pay taxes again.
Fortune. Now, what you're hearing are a series of attacks that are premised on assumptions about Ford's position. And so these are really sneaky little attacks that are aimed at solidifying the Republican base. We're now looking at a guy in camo gear who says...
Right. I do have too many guns.
I met Harold at the Playboy party.
Now, that is a white woman who appears unclothed from the shoulders up. She's standing on a street corner. She's a blonde. And that is a race card. This is a race-baiting commercial where they're using sex and race to try to attack Harold Ford. Now here's a white suburban-type woman speaking.
Love to pay higher marriage taxes.
Canada can take care of North Korea. They're not busy.
So we took money from porn movie producers. I mean, who hasn't?
Harold Ford, he's just not right.
Responsible for the content of this advertising.
And the Republican National Committee paid for it, and the Republican candidate has said that he doesn't support it. His name is Corker. And last week, Harold Ford busted into a Corker news conference and ran off of his own campaign bus to confront Corker face-to-face in a very angry way. That's now being played as poor temperament on the part of Mr. Ford. So here is the final salvo from the blonde woman who alleges that she was at a Playboy party with him. And she basically says, give me a call, Harold.
Call me.
Yeah. So that is, I think, the lowest commercial I've heard. Now I'll play it again for you without interruption.
Harold Ford looks nice. Isn't that enough? Terrorists need their privacy.
When I die, Harold Ford will let me pay taxes again.
Ford's right. I do have too many guns.
I met Harold at the Playboy party.
I'd love to pay higher marriage taxes.
Canada can take care of North Korea. They're not busy.
So we took money from porn movie producers. I mean, who hasn't?
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Harold, call me.
Republican National Committee, how low will they go? Ben and Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir. Referring to Alex Androvna's conversation a few minutes ago.
Yes.
They talked about in Germany, before Hitler came into the fascistic parts of his reign of terror, as we'll call it, Germans stood by and watched those camps being built. Many of them actually must have helped build those concentration camps, as well as how many Jewish people thinking they were doing what? Now move forward to the concentrations that Halliburton has contracted for here on American soil. I want some of your computer geniuses out there, please, have enough love for your country to Google Earth, locate some of these concentration camps, use them as screensavers on your computers, so, and then ask yourself, who's going to man them, who's going to pay for them, and who is going to be in them? And a lot of them, I understand, are constructed along what's going to be the road of this NAFTA superhighway that goes from the southern Mexican border all the way to Canada, and it's going to be a lot of government of the holy cow. I mean, Orwell's thing is coming through with this international highway, and now we're starting to send not only jobs up but prisoners out. Are we being raped and had? And the American people stand by. Remember, Bush just signed this law. The what you call the Stalin Act,
right?
There.
Military Commission
Act.
Yeah,
he just signed that. Now, to me, that's aiming a dagger at the heart of a lot of moron America, the red states we'll call them. He is saying to them, I literally have the power to torture and kill and rape anybody who does not vote for me that I do not like. And the fact, and they're also making a lot
Ben,
of sounds.
Ben, I got to jump in. Sorry, I'm late for a break here. I thank you for your call today. We'll take more calls in the free speech zone in a minute at 888-5 Peter B. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah.
He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
And good afternoon, friends. Let's take a look at traffic. Well, we do have a crash in the Hollister-Gilroy area. It's a two-car crash with injuries. Looks like everything off to the right shoulder. In fact, CHP not really specific on this crash. Doesn't appear it is blocking lane, but looks like they've called out a medical helicopter to the scene there. So we're talking about pretty significant injuries at this point. Soquel at Cabrillo College in Santa Cruz. Looks like a vehicle that went off the roadway there. A problem in report of a fire in Monterey, Russell Road at Harrison. In fact, it looks like it's a carport on fire. Monterey fire on the way to the scene there. Another report of a fire is in Rio Del Mar at Clubhouse Drive. That is in the Santa Cruz area. And this looks like this is the Deer Park Shopping Center. It's the only details we have at this point. And you've got 25 years worth of investments, but do you have a plan? Talk to Chuck, Charles Shore, Schwab. This sport brought to you by Charles Schwab.
We've got the Peter B. Collins Show 22 minutes after the hour. We call this the Free Speed Zone. All our lines are taken right now, but when somebody jumps off, you can jump on. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Up next is Tom in Coos Bay listening to Talk Radio 1340 KBBR. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Peter. How are you doing?
Good today.
I think I have an insight into why you're getting a disappointing turnout for some of these protests. I've been involved in quite a few over the years. I think it has a lot to do with the kind of people who lead them. They tend to load too many issues onto the agenda that maybe make it more exclusive than inclusive. A lot of people don't want to be associated with every one of the positions. If they focused more on the core reason why they come together, even though they have differences on other matters, I think you'd get a better kind of show.
Well, I think that some of that is fair. And there was a protest in San Francisco in August that included some rather extreme voices, and it was organized by the International Answer Group.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, one of my conservative listeners went, took some digital photos and sent them to me. And I described them on the air, and I took exception to some of them because they were shrill, they were hate messages, and that, in my view, you know, doesn't belong in a protest, for example, that's focused on the war in Iraq.
Right. A lot of times the leadership, since they tend to talk to each other, they're somewhat homogeneous, they tend to think everybody shares their ideas, and it's not necessarily the case. If like on the constitutional issues, I'm sure you could get people across the board that have differing views about all sorts of other social issues, might even disagree on the war in Iraq and everything, but they would agree that our Constitution is in danger. And
mm-hmm.
if you avoid you'll get speakers on, they'll start talking about whatever their own pet cause is. A lot of times the news media will focus on that, and it tends to turn off people who maybe wouldn't be at a protest normally anyway, but they got motivated for that one, and because of these other things loaded onto it, it kind of turns them off. I think that might be part of the problem.
Well, I think that's an important point. I'm glad you raised it. Anything you want to add?
Other than I'm really glad you're here in the area, not now.
Well, I'm glad to be on KBBR, too. Spread the word. Can I make you vice president of marketing for Coos Bay?
Oh, if I gave my last name, I don't think you'd want that.
Oh. Well, then you
take care.
Okay, I won't get his last name then. I guess it's too hot to handle. Ben in Phoenix, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks.
You're welcome.
I was listening to you talk about Iraq, and a couple things came to mind. I don't wear a tinfoil hat, but hearing that these Vietnam-era authoritarian ties have put together this Stalinist habeas corpus thing makes me wonder how they'd use that if there were a draft for more troops over there.
Well, what do you mean specifically?
Well, if someone's going to dodge a draft, it seems like that's pretty un-American, and they might try to lock them up for it.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I would not be surprised if one of the recommendations from the Baker Commission, which is going to be conveniently delayed until after the election, will be to reinstitute a draft to replenish the human resources in the American military.
Yeah, I have to worry about that. My brother would be eligible.
Well, I have a stepson who might be eligible. He's a college student right now. And I took the step of volunteering for my local draft board in the event it is reconstituted. You might look into that in your community.
Sounds good.
Go to sss.gov. That's the Selective Service website.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been there in a while, but I did this about a year and a half, and I signed up to be a member of the draft board in my community. And what's interesting is the requirements are fairly simple, but one of them is that you may not have served in the military yourself.
Wow.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, that's very good to know.
Yeah. So take a look at that. That might be a form of activism you'd want to consider.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, Ben. Now to Deborah in Phoenix. Hello, Deborah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Listen, I really enjoy your show.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Air America is the only radio station I listen to. Well, to and from work and sometimes at work.
Well, thank you for your loyalty. Now, can you spread that around a little bit?
Yeah, I'm in my car. I got XM, so I can listen to you there, too.
Great.
There's something that, in fact, I was calling into Dr. Mike's show this morning, but I got to school and had to get off, that I've been thinking about that kind of bothers me. When you refer to the Republicans and then sometimes I hear the conservatives, and strategically, don't you think it would be a good idea right now to start referring to all these people we're complaining about as, let's say, the neocons? And the reason being is I suspect that there are quite a few Republicans that are starting to have some doubts. And, you know, the term saving face,
mm-hmm.
I think that's so important when you're trying to deal diplomatically with somebody. It's almost like you have to kind of give them an out. Now, if we refer to these people we're complaining about as neocons, we're not just covering the whole Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
As you and I both know, you know, there are some really good Republicans. And we're talking about the kind of people who have a stranglehold on the Republican Party.
Well, Deborah, I think you make a good point. And I would try to amend it in this direction. First of all, name-calling tends to just cause people to harden their positions.
Right,
and
right.
So if you lump all Republicans together, people who support certain Republican positions or values will defensively ignore or tune out or, you know, just, you know, fail to pay attention to what you're saying.
Right.
On the other hand, we have had Democratic candidates in the last few cycles who have soft-pedaled their differences and have left people with the impression that there's no significant difference between Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
So we need contrast. We need to draw sharp lines to identify the differences between Democrats and Republicans and even between progressives and run-of-the-mill Democrats. But we need to do that in a way that hopefully brings people along to our point of view and doesn't simply poke them in the eye and leave them saying, well, you're just a cruel, whiny loser.
Well, I know when I'm dealing with students, I'm very careful to comment or criticize their behavior.
Deborah, I got to run to a break here. Thanks a lot for your call today. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the free speech zone. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. Impeach or not to impeach, that is a question. Now, there are a lot of Democrats who have high hopes that Nancy Pelosi will become the Speaker of the House if Democrats take control following the elections 13 days from now. And on 60 Minutes this past week, I did not get to see it. Pelosi had poor media judgment, or somebody did, because she was on opposite the World Series. Which, by the way, is rain delayed right now, so you don't need to tune to another station to check that out. But Pelosi told Leslie Stahl on CBS that impeachment would be off the table if Democrats take over the House, calling it a waste of time. Dave Lindorf wrote an op-ed piece that was published in the Baltimore Chronicle today. Lindorf has been on our program several times, and he is co-author of The Case for Impeachment. Do I have the title right? Yes, The Case for Impeachment, co-authored with Barbara Olshansky of the Center for Constitutional Rights. And as you know, I believe that Bush and Cheney deserve to be impeached. The question is one of strategery, as Bush would mangle it. And I'd like to hear your thoughts. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is pragmatic in passing on impeachment and in trying to take away a vulnerability that Republicans might exploit in the last minutes of this campaign? Or do you think that the issues are so huge, the errors and atrocities so glaring, that we have no choice but to pursue impeachment of these two dastardly dudes? So I'd like to hear your thoughts. Do you believe impeachment A is warranted? And if so, do you support it as a goal of a new Democratic majority? 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'd like to talk with you. Up next, we go to line two, and it's Stephen in Phoenix. Stephen, welcome.
Hello, Peter B. I'd like to comment first on the impeachment, because I also want to get to my second point about Democrats mounting a sharp counterattack, but I definitely must respond to this impeachment thing. When I was watching Nancy Pelosi, now I'm sure and I hope she will be the next Speaker of the House, but when I heard her say that impeachment is off the table, I just had my mouth open. I was aghast. First of all, I think that is a very stupid thing. Let me just put it this way. I mean, I'm very passionate about this. First of all, impeachment is too good for this. I don't really want to say what I think of him. I have a bumper sticker that I've had for a couple of years that says, jail to the thief, indict Bush now. And Ambassador Joe Wilson was on the local program here a couple of days ago where he talks about that this was clearly, and there's so many reasons to impeach these bastards, but clearly this was an act of treason.
Mm-hmm.
His father in 1999 said that anyone who outs a CIA agent, you know, he said if this was any other case besides talking to a media, like for example, if Carl Rove or Bush or Cheney or Armstrong, Armitage or Scooter Libby and all of them had talked to another, someone from another country, like, for example, let's say it was in Russia, or like when it was a former Soviet Union, they would be put on trial for treason.
Now, Stephen, I understand the case, and I'm not quibbling about that. I think they have earned it. And particularly when you compare their deeds to a private sex act, there's just no question in my mind. But let's get cold and practical.
That was just an absurd abuse of constitution. Stephen,
tell me, though, about the practical aspects. Number one, you have to do this very carefully because you'd have to take Cheney out first, get him replaced by someone we could tolerate, and then try to remove Bush from office. There's no question in my mind that they both deserve the impeachment, which is the indictment. The question is whether a trial in the Senate should lead to their removal, and then what do we get? We get Dennis Hastert?
No, let me first of all, I hope that Dennis Hastert is history in a few weeks, but let me just address your question because I thought of that too. Stephen,
a thought just occurred to me that I want to interject here. If the Democrats win, the Speaker of the House would not be Dennis Hastert.
I know.
And removal of Cheney and Bush would make President Pelosi.
I know. Let me just address that. First of all, I don't think that he would be convicted or removed in the Senate because I don't believe, you know, the Democrats are not going to have 67 votes, and I doubt if any Republicans, maybe a few, would go along with it. The very fact that he would have the stain of impeachment on him, they talk about playback, well, the Democrats are not doing. Well, why not? Do you know that Tom DeLay had said when Al Gore looked like he was possibly going to maybe still win, when it was going to pull it out, and they said the minute he gets his hand off the Bible, the impeachment would begin. Now, I don't know whether that was just rhetoric, but if Kerry was in office now, or this was Al Gore's second term, you don't think for a second the Republicans would use any kind of trumped-up charge, they would use anything. They've got the and if there is another Democratic president and there's a Republican Congress, they will impeach him. I say impeach him just for the fact that he can have the impeachment mark in history books, just like Clinton had, and Clinton actually has been exonerated.
All right, Stephen, let's let that one lie for now because I need to move on, but you had another point that you actually called about, and I don't want to give it short shrift, so go ahead.
I'm just very passionate about impeachment.
Yes, you are.
Let me just say this about, with all due respect to that last caller, she sounds like a very nice woman, and I can understand how a teacher would think that way, but we are not dealing with students here. We are dealing with people. You know, that's one of the reasons, as you remember, I talked a couple of days ago, I'm very much against even the idea of Barack Obama running for president because he said he doesn't believe that even if there's attack ads or attack, that doesn't mean we have to hit back. Well, they should ask Max Cleland or Tom Daschle or Michael Dukakis or certainly John Kerry if you don't attack back. So what I say is attack, attack, and attack. And I have to say this. I believe that the Democrats, what they have to do, this has given Democrats an opportunity with this slimy ad. I've heard it even before you played it now. I've seen the ad. They showed it on television. What they have to do is they really have to really roll out a severe, sharp counterattack that really shows the face of the Republican Party. I'm a white person, so I cannot speak for African-Americans, but I believe that some African-Americans who may be on the fence, because after all, Harold Ford is quite a conservative Democrat, and he may have not excited enough progressives. I believe that this is maybe going to really have an effect of really galvanizing, because even the most progressive liberal is going to certainly be outraged at this obscene, and Limbaugh attacking Michael J. Fox. You know, this is a guy that has that used to have on his radio show putting homeless people in garbage cans, making fun of crippled people, having, like Molly Ivan said, what they call a kick a cripple week.
Stephen, I don't want to cut you off, but I got to because I got a full switchboard. You're a fascinating guy with a fabulous stream of consciousness. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks, you.
All right, nice to talk to you. Now to Peter V in Monterey. Hello, Peter, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter. Larissa's piece was disturbing, to say the least, and that I actually, I turned red and started throwing things. I think that should be everybody's response to what she's presented to us. And I would like to add that Tom Hartman actually read an excerpt from a book from people that lived through the Third Reich, and the title of it was We Thought We Were Free, into which he says, with each outrage and each umbrage, that administration would come up with a cooked-up, manufactured response which had the slightest bit of plausibility. And the bottom line was that it really didn't affect the entire country until the very end because they managed to keep the whole ugly thing out of the public consciousness, and I think that's what we're seeing now. Aside from the people that listen to your program and a few others, the people I talk to, as you mentioned, they're more concerned with Dancing with Fools or American Idiots or whatever other programs there are.
Yeah.
And my comment, Peter, is no, I don't want impeachment. I want a public tar and feathering.
All right, Peter, thank you.
And again, Peter, it's because of your quality programming and your great moderation that you bring to this that we're even able to see this. So I want to thank you and that hardworking engineer, Matt Renner.
Well, you are welcome, and I will share the spotlight with Matt. He does a great job and really keeps this program moving. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
You bet. And tar and feathering, I'm not sure that's politically correct anymore. Consider the feathers. Now we go to line three, which is Roman in Mesa. Hello, Roman. Nice to talk
to you. Hi, Peter. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, Roman, there you go. I thought we'd trained everybody. It is not necessary to thank Mr. Collins for taking your call.
Okay. Well, I have a show here in the Phoenix market called Arizona at Work, and people thank me for taking their call, so I'm thanking you.
Okay.
Anyway, one of the things that I think that Republicans of conscience can do is call the Republican National Committee and tell them we don't want you using our money to support, you know, those kinds of ads against Ford. We don't want you using our money to support J.D. Hayward. We don't want you to use our money to support the dirt that you are supporting, or else we're not going to ever give money to the Republican National Committee in the future.
And Roman, just how much do you think that would hurt the receipts at the Republican National Committee?
I am not sure that it would hurt the receipts at all, but if they care for any kind of support from moderate Republicans, maybe they might think twice about doing
well,
it.
Well, consider this, okay? They are beyond shameless. They've been exposed as hypocrites in the faith-based initiative. David Kuo was on our program yesterday, was on the NewsHour last night. He's been all over the place explaining just how cynical and dastardly they were in using evangelicals in political terms. They have been discredited in virtually every way, even from conservative, you know, points of view. You're there in Arizona, the land of Barry Goldwater. He'd be rolling over in his proverbial grave right now to see what has been done in the name of conservatism. And so I really have to raise the question, are there principled Republicans left? I know a few personal friends, but in the big arena, we've seen a precious few expressions of honest rejection of these lowball tactics. And I don't know if this translates to Arizona, but we've got this serial shakedown artist in the Bay Area. His name is Al Davis. He runs the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, yes.
He shook down Los Angeles, and then when he got tired of that, he came back and shook down Oakland again. And he has this philosophy, which is just win, baby. He doesn't care how you do it. And I believe that it's the Raider Nation mentality that has fully infected the Republican leadership. And I wish I could say the Democrats were immune to it, but it's far worse on the Republican side. And all they want to do is win, win at all costs. They're more desperate than ever. The fear card, the Iraq card, hasn't worked. And here was Bush today. He was asked if the November 7 elections will be viewed as a referendum on the war in Iraq. And he said the election is a referendum on which party has a plan to make the economy grow and which party has a plan to make the American people safe. That's what he is reduced to as, you know, as campaign rhetoric this late in the game.
Well, if it's a referendum on the economy, then it is a complete disaster for them, because what used to happen was one member of the family would go out and get a decent job to support the family. Now both parents have to do that, and so the kids are at home, and that's why if they're talking about family values, they have none, because they have destroyed the families.
Okay. I appreciate your call today. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Bye-bye.
We'll take more of your calls in just a moment in the Free Speech Zone here on the PBC Show. Lines available for you at 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Walk, don't run over to the phone and give us a call. We'll talk to you next on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the latest. We're going to start off with a problem in Monterey. Blanca Road at Davis, getting word of a vehicle that looks like this one went gray Ford overturned, went off the roadway into a field, and looks like paramedics and fire department on scene. They're also calling for a flatbed tow truck as well. In fact, fire department and ambulance rolling to the scene as we speak. Also want to tell you about Hollister, northbound 101, just after East Gilmartin, heads up for a rather large duffel bag, they're saying, on the right shoulder. Fire reported in the Santa Cruz Clubhouse Drive at Rio del Mar. Looks like this is a broken vehicle, broken down vehicle in the parking lot of the Deer Park Shopping Center. And this report brought to you by Charles Schwab. You've got 25 years worth of investments, but do you have a plan? Talk to Chuck. Charles Schwab. Traffic on KRXA.
On. We're in the home stretch of the Free Speech Zone. Still room for another call or two at 888-5-PETER-B. And I've got a couple of items for you in my small world file.
There is just one moon and one golden sun, and the smile beats friendship to everyone. Though the mountains divide and the oceans are wide, it's a small world.
Did you hear the announcement from the Disney Empire that the company is placing nutrition guidelines on licensed food products aimed at children in its theme parks? But when you read the fine print, it turns out they're going to phase it in over a 2 to 4 year period. And Disney's idea of cleaning up junk food does not include limiting product placements in feature films or television programs. It doesn't include, cleaning up the advertising on the ABC television network that Disney owns. And so it's a small step toward a better small world. And speaking of small world, Matt Renner just forwarded me a link here to abcnews.com, which has revealed today the location of Congressman Mark Foley. He is in a rehab center in Tucson. He's at the Sierra Tucson Treatment Center, and it costs $30,000 for a 30-day rehab program. He checked in there about October 1st, and there's a picture here of an Olympic-sized swimming pool at this rehab joint. So what I've figured out or deduced is that Congressman Foley is within the sound of my voice. And Mr. Foley, if you're listening, send me an instant message, dude. I'd like to see how you're doing there in rehab. Let's know. Let's go to line five next, and Alan in Phoenix joins us. Hello, Alan.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
Good, good. Two important issues. One concerning whether the president should be impeached.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 58 years old, and I'm still angry at Ford for giving us justice with Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Let the system work as it was designed to work. I believe that in order for us to reestablish ourselves as a civilized nation, what we have to do is demonstrate at a very public level to the world by holding these two people or these people accountable for what they have done to this country,
mm-hmm.
to let them know that, hey, this is an aberration. This was not us. Our government has been taken away from us during those periods, and we are holding the people responsible accountable for what they've done.
Now, let me just counter, because you get no argument from me. They richly deserve it. The issue is that Nancy Pelosi is playing defense.
Okay.
And she fears that if she advocated for impeachment or left it on the table, that they would say, oh, well, if you're the next speaker, you're just using an end run to become president of the United States.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, I'm hoping what she's doing is being a very, how would I say it, smart about the situation. Why must she tell everybody what she's going to do ahead of time? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's really none of their business.
Well,
and on her qualifications.
On that score, Alan, I agree. I want full accountability. And more important than dinging Bush and Cheney, I want to know the bloody truth. I want to know what really happened on 9/11 and who was really responsible. I want to know why they really decided we had to invade Iraq.
Absolutely. We need something akin to the South African Truth and Reconciliation.
Yeah.
This country is in very bad shape, and we need the truth. The truth is going to be the only thing that is going to heal this country.
And I wish Nancy Pelosi had answered in a fashion like that, calling for accountability, saying that the most important thing is to hear the truth. And, of course, if we hear the truth, indictments and accountability would follow.
But the thing about it is you have to understand that the news media, the outlets have not been fair. And she's probably afraid that anything she says is going to be misconstrued, misreported.
Indeed.
I'm hoping that is the case for her.
Alan, I appreciate a thoughtful call today.
Hey, look, can I say one other thing?
Okay, go ahead.
The teacher earlier, she said to more or less to hold out an open an olive branch to the Republican Party. I think that's what you say. I don't think so. The Republican Party tried to destroy the Democratic Party.
And they take no prisoners, even at times when they talk about
comity. They take no prisoners at all. If the Republican Party is so damaged that it vanished, that's okay with me. Let's replace it with the Green Party.
All right, Alan, I got to jump here. Let's see. Line one is Christina in Scottsdale. Thanks for your call.
Well, hi, Peter. It's good to speak with you. You know, I had heard something that what is in the works is that they want to do a full investigation before they would do an impeachment. So I think Nancy Pelosi is probably pretty smart instead of jumping the gun with this impeachment thing, because they have already in the works this intent. Did you read the first 100-hour promise?
I have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't think it really, I don't know if it mentioned it in there, but I had heard some wonderful information on another show recently where they were talking about the fact that they want to put together a full investigative committee that would then discover if there are actually reasons for impeachment.
Well,
instead of just jumping in, you know.
And some of that work has been done. John Conyers, who would become chair of the House Judiciary Committee, which would have jurisdiction over any impeachment, has published a new report called George W. Bush versus the U.S. Constitution, the Downing Street Memos and Deception, Manipulation, Torture, Retribution, Cover-ups in the Iraq War, and Illegal Domestic Spying. It's just been published by a Chicago company called Academy Chicago, and I think today was the release date. So that is the underlying investigative tool that could be used for accountability or impeachment, however it ultimately shapes up.
Yeah, and I do agree with the impeachment. I totally do. But I also think you have to be really smart in how you approach it, and especially coming into an election, you know, putting an agenda like that right on the table could actually be very negative.
You're right. I want to thank.
I like the way she's doing it, even though I don't necessarily agree. But I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, Christina, thank you. Now to Tony in Arcata. Hello, Tony.
Hey. I think it's very hard to make a rational argument against impeachment. And I do think Nancy Pelosi is playing it smart. I think right now the public is united against the war in Iraq, and I think that's the wave that the Democrats are going to take both houses back. And for her to say that impeachment is on the table, I think might bring a divisive issue into it or put focus on a divisive issue, while right now there's unity.
Well, and earlier this year, Karl Rove kind of fired a preemptive shot over the bow by sending messages to Republican faithful saying, you can't let the Democrats win because they want to impeach the president.
Right, right. And so I think she's playing her cards close to her chest, and I think she's playing it smart.
All right, thanks a lot. I wish I had more time, but I got to run because Trigger's here. We're going to saddle up and ride off into the sunset. Tell you what, I'll be back here tomorrow. Same time, same stations. I hope you'll meet me here. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Listen to broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks as he is joined by health crusader Lisa LaRose and Western Feng Shui master Ann Christie for One Wisdom, a program designed to bring you conversations that invoke your creativity, playfulness, and well-being. Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It might not look that way now, but President Bush says absolutely we're winning in Iraq.
Americans can have confidence that we will prevail.
At a surprise news conference less than 2 weeks before the election, Mr. Bush acknowledged the serious problems and mounting American losses, 93 so far this month. But he said U.S. military tactics are changing, and Ambassador Zaleh Khalilzad is working with the Iraqi government on a plan for progress.
When you're talking about the benchmarks, he's talking about the fact that we're working with the Iraqi government to have certain benchmarks to meet as a way to determine whether or not they're making the hard decisions necessary to achieve peace.
But Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki apparently has not gotten the message. He said the talk of timelines is driven by the U.S. election campaign and not the official policy of the American government. Democratic Congressman Maurice Hinchey of New York says today's news conference didn't go far enough.
The president still does not deal honestly with the fact that he misled the Congress and the American people, as well as others in the administration did, with regard to the rationale for the attack on Iraq, and now this subsequent disastrous occupation.
Gay activists won a partial victory today when New Jersey's Supreme Court ruled that same-sex couples are entitled to the same rights and benefits as heterosexuals.
Today is, it's an historic day, and it is a wonderful day in New Jersey.
David Buckle of Lambda Legal. The court leaves it up to the legislature to decide whether gay couples can get married or have some sort of civil union. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen has a scenario.
Same-sex marriage supporters now will push the politicians in Trenton to simply change the marriage statute to include same-sex couples. Opponents will ask those same politicians both to support a constitutional amendment that would ban same-sex marriage or simply not allow same-sex couples to be formally married.
CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Jonathan LaPook is excited by a new study suggesting CT scans can detect lung cancer in its very early curable stages.
Lung cancer is a brutal disease, and about 95% of people diagnosed with lung cancer will eventually die from the disease. What this study showed is that 92% of patients diagnosed with early lung cancer by a screening chest CT lived for 10 years.
The government advisory panel has voted to recommend that people 60 and over be routinely vaccinated against